Well, we're in the second part of our series we're calling Living Courageously because we believe that we could all use a little courage right now. Maybe over the last several months, maybe you have felt discouraged. Maybe you have felt disappointed or disillusioned. At the very least, we've all been disrupted. But what if the headline of 2020 isn't so much pandemic or politics? What if the history books actually look back at those things and actually see them as footnotes to a grander story of something that has taken place right here, right now, right under our noses? What if 2020 is a little less about retreat and a little more about the reveal of what God is doing, His work and His purposes and His vision of what He is doing in the world? I want you to look at this. This is the vision that we see, how we see this playing out here at Oak Hills Church. We envision a community of disciples courageously engaging culture with the hope of Jesus where we live, work, learn, and play. We envision a community of disciples. We believe that this life is not to be lived alone. So we want to see more and more of our church continue to be a part of small groups, even if it's just a couple of your friends gathering together, this community of disciples, iron sharpening iron. To do what? Courageously engage culture. It was Jesus who said, go and make disciples. And we want to be disciples who are making disciples, sharing the hope of Jesus. Where? Well, everywhere the church goes, everywhere we live, work, learn, and play. Now, I know that's a bold vision, and it's going to take courage, but it wouldn't be the first time that this vision has been lived out. We are in a study of the book of Acts because this is a place where we see courage in the early church played out. So we're going to continue to look at that today. But first, I want us to stop and pray first. Good Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, the work that he did, his sacrifice on the cross, making a relationship with you possible. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that guides us, even now in this moment, guides us to hear what we need to hear, to see what we need to see. And Father, we want to see Jesus and only Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, it was in the book of Acts that we began last week to look at. And we looked in Acts chapter 1 in verse 8, when Jesus, before he ascended to the Father in heaven, he said to his disciples, you will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses starting right here in Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. But he said, you're not going alone. You will go with the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus fulfilled that promise. But those disciples, they had a choice to make. They could choose to be cowards or they could choose to be courageous. And so they had a choice to make. Every single one of them chose. Many of them that we see in the book of Acts, they chose to be courageous. You see, they had the power of the Holy Spirit working through them. And the result of this courage, the result in this early church, we find in Acts chapter 2. I want you to look at this. Those who accepted his message, this is talking about Peter, one of these disciples, one of these apostles who was preaching. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Just in one day, they were not just making converts, they were making disciples who would make disciples who would make disciples. And then we see this community of disciples, this beautiful picture of the church lived out in Acts chapter 2 in the very next verse. So let's read verses 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This message of Jesus, this gospel of Jesus, began to spread throughout Jerusalem, and people were receiving this message. Now, it was not an easy message. Peter stood before them and he said, "You killed Jesus. You killed the author of life." It was not an easy message to receive, but they began to receive it. Many of them were very thankful for the gospel of Jesus, being able to receive that message. But not everyone was so happy about this message, especially the people who held power, especially those who held religious power. You see, they weren't so happy about this message. We talked a little bit about this last week when we found Peter and John in chapter 4. And they had been thrown in jail, and then they had been brought out to speak up for themselves. And as they did many times, they stood up and they spoke up and they refused to shut up. And that's exactly what the religious leaders wanted to do to these guys. But they released them. And I want you to notice what Peter and John do. Right there, we're going to pick up in chapter 4 right now to take a look at what it is that these courageous men do. Let's pick up here. As soon as they were released from custody, Peter and John went to the other believers and explained all that had happened with the high priest and the elders. When the believers heard their report, they raised their voices in unity and what? Prayed. They prayed. Do you get the picture right here? They go back to the church. They get released. And then they go back to the church and they give them the report. And they say, "Hey, guys, we've got some good news. We've got some bad news. What do you want to hear first?" And they say, "Well, we're going to hear the bad news first." Because everyone always wants to hear the bad news first. I'm not really sure why, but they do. And they say, "Well, here's the bad news. The same people who killed Jesus, they don't like our message. They want us to stop speaking in the name of Jesus. And they have the power probably to take our lives." I'm sure someone spoke up at that point and said, did you mention there was some good news?" He said, "Oh yeah, the good news is that 5,000 people have now received salvation through the gospel of Jesus." And 5,000, that's just counting the men. They bring this report, but then I want you to notice the first thing that they do, they devise a plan. No. They don't devise a plan. What is the first thing that courageous people who follow Jesus do? Persistent prayer. They prayed. Persistent prayer. This is prayer that aligns our hearts. It fuels our relationship with God and it aligns us to God's will. Persistent prayer. This is what they do first. You see, sometimes it's not about just taking the hill. Sometimes it's about taking time to spend time with God. And this is what they do. They go back and they pray. Now, if you're new to prayer, or maybe you just feel like your prayer life has gotten cold, stale, then I want to suggest to you that right here in Acts chapter 4, we see a model for prayer. Now, it's not the model, it's just a model, and it's how they came together and they prayed as they were praying for courage. So I want you to get the scene. Their lives are under threat, but then they gather together, and of all the things they could have done, they pray. Now I want you to notice what they pray. "Lord Yahweh, you are the Lord of all. You created the universe, the earth, the sky, the sea, and everything that is in them. And you spoke by the Holy Spirit through your servant David, our forefather, saying, 'How dare the nations plan a rebellion, ranting and raging against the Lord Most High? Their foolish plots are futile. Look at how the kings of the earth take their stand with the rulers scheming and conspiring together against God and his anointed Messiah. In fact, Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Jews and the non-Jews, met together to take their stand against your holy servant, Jesus, the Messiah. They did it to him. They did to him all that your purpose and will had determined, according to the destiny that you had marked out for him. So now, Lord, listen to their threats to harm us. Empower us as your servants to speak the word of God freely and courageously. Stretch out your hand of power through us to heal and to move in signs and wonders by the name of your holy Son, Jesus. Now, I want us to just go back through this and look at this. It's just a model. I want you to notice, first of all, how it is that they begin the prayer. They come together. The first thing, Lord of all, what are they saying? They're saying this is the place to start, with God's sovereignty, with acknowledging the fact that God is over all. Everything that's been created has been created by him. It's been created for him. It's all his. He's not only Lord of all, he is Lord over it all. And that's where they begin. And then they move on and they say, you spoke. What did they say? You spoke through the Holy Spirit. You spoke through the Holy Spirit. This is what you said. I wonder if our prayers couldn't use some more of God's words more than mine. What would happen to our prayers if we prayed more of God's words? Say, God, you said. God, you spoke. And I'm in agreement with it. I believe that it's true. But that's what they did. Lord of all. And then you spoke. And then listen to their threats. Now, of all the things that they could have prayed at this point, of all the requests that they could have made of God at this point, they didn't pray a prayer of protection. They did not pray a prayer to eliminate their challenges or the obstacles. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying those prayers. Those are absolutely supported in Scripture. But the first thing that they go to, they say, listen to their threats. And God, it's as if they're saying, God, this is yours. This is going on, and you know about this, but this is yours. This isn't for us to try to do something about. These obstacles, these challenges, these are yours. And so they don't try to go around the challenges that they have. Instead, they go through them. With the power of the Holy Spirit, they say, God, listen to their threats. This is yours. Take care of it. Handle it. Do what you will. And then and only then do they begin to make this request, as they say, empower us. Of all the things that they could have prayed, they prayed, empower us to speak the word of God freely and courageously. Again, they could have prayed, God, could you move these things out of the way, or could you show us another path? Maybe we could just go around this way. It'd be a lot easier. But instead, they say, we're going through it. Just empower us. We're going through it. Just empower us to speak the word of God. Not our own words, but your word. Empower us to the point where we can speak it freely and courageously. And then five, stretch out your hand of power through us to heal. This is significant. They're saying, stretch out your hand of power. This is not of us. You can use us in any way that you want to, but this is your power. It's your hand that will do the healing. Heal our land. Heal the people around us. Please, Lord, heal. Stretch out your hand of power to heal. And then finally, they end with this. By the name of your holy Son, Jesus. It always ends with Jesus. In the name of Jesus. It's in his name. It's in his power that all of this is possible. I just wonder what this could do to our prayers. If we began to pray this prayer of courage, to be able to pray this way, I want you to see what happens. When they wrap up their prayer time on this occasion, look what happens. At that moment, the earth shook beneath them, causing the building they were in to tremble. Each one of them was filled with the Holy Spirit, and they proclaimed the word of God with unrestrained boldness. Did you catch that? God answered their prayer. They were praying for courage, and God granted it. But what was the source of that courage? The source is our unfailing friend. He is the Holy Spirit. But how did they access that power? By going to their Heavenly Father in prayer. Could you use some courage in your life right now? You can find it, but you're going to find it the same place that these disciples did. You are going to find it in prayer. When we pray first. I don't know about you, many times my instinct is to do something. And I know sometimes prayer gets a bad rap as if it's somehow empty words or powerless. Make no mistake, prayer can do anything that God can do. I wonder if God wants to shake things once again. He will when his people pray. When his people come together with one heart and with one mind and begin to pray. You can find courage, but you're going to find it in the same place that they did. You're going to find it when we go to our knees and we simply pray. See, God has created us to be courageous. He has created us to have courage. He's given us his Holy Spirit, the source of courage. The question is, will we apply it? Will we access it? If today is your day to receive Jesus, if you've heard this message and you have heard that Jesus died for you and he has made a way to restore relationship with God, to restore friendship with God, if you're receiving that today, all you have to do is what those disciples did so many years ago, and that is to just receive that word, to just say, Jesus, I repent of my life. I want to turn away from my old life, and I want to place my trust and my hope in you, in Jesus Christ, in you alone. And then, if you're here close to this church, we would love to guide you and to talk to you about those next steps of obedience. We see this also in the book of Acts where someone says, what's stopping me from being baptized right now? I want to be baptized in Jesus Christ right now. If you're some distance from Oak Hills Church, find a local church and just tell them, I want to go public with my faith. I've received Jesus. I want to go public with my faith in baptism. And if you do that, if you just in this moment right now made that decision, I want you to know we are celebrating with you. And I want you to know that all of heaven is celebrating with you right now. You see, the same Spirit that was available to those disciples so many years ago is the same Spirit, is the same power that is available to you right now. So today, wherever you may be, could we just recite this declaration of courage one more time? I am called to courage. The Holy Spirit makes me strong. My God is with me wherever I go. I will be brave. I will not be afraid. I will live courageously. And the whole church said, Amen.